Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Preach for a while, have I? Might not preach for a while after that is this either. Oh, it's great fun, isn't it? You keep laughing with me and I'll be all right, okay? All right. And I brought this up here, and I'm not going to use it. It's just to confuse you, okay? I know. I started out this message. I thought I was going to speak on repentance, and I thought this was going to be an extremely happy and encouraging message. Well, funnily enough, it didn't seem to end that way. So we'll just see how we go, all right? It's fairly serious. I found it as I was reading the word, it's very serious stuff. And I'm hoping that I don't condemn or kill anybody here this morning with my words. So be aware, all right? Just be aware and just receive nicely what I'm going to say. Can you do that? All righty, we'll see. So, repentance, and the Lord said, don't start with repentance, just start with salvation. Start to talk about salvation, and then it was sort of like, well, you can't separate salvation from discipleship. They're really just one thing. You can't break them apart. They have to stay together. And if you put up, guys, if you put up Ephesians 2, 8, just verse 8. Yep, too late. Just verse 8. I know, I probably didn't write that down. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. All right, put the lot up. 3 to 10. Thank you. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, salvation, simple salvation message. Grace. We receive grace, we receive faith, and we get born again. Is that right? And it's not anything that you and I can do at all. It all comes from God. The grace comes from God. He puts grace in us, or it is grace that gets us to where we're going to go. And then he puts a measure of faith in us. And you can't work for it. You can't work it out. You can't do anything. You just receive it. Is that okay? Okay, good so far? And has everybody done that? Come on, put up your hand and just wave at me. I won't look. Okay, I might look a little bit. Yeah, it's a free gift. Well, what gift is not free? Huh? That's a funny statement, isn't it? It's a free gift. All gifts are free, aren't they? Unless there's little attachments to it that says, I want one back later on. But no, they're free. This one's free too, isn't it? Everyone? Well, no, actually. It's not that free after all, as it turns out. It is free. It is free in the meaning that Kent, you don't have, Carl, you don't have to work for it. It's all right, just relax. Don't do any work, you're just going to get the grace and the faith, and away you go. Except that's not exactly what the Bible says. You can say, that God saved you? But can you say, I'll read what I wrote. Can you say, God saved me and now I'm working hard to stay saved? Can you say that? Working hard to stay saved. I'm trying hard to stay saved. And this is what I wrote down. Please don't try hard to stay saved. Don't try hard. Die hard. They should have made a movie, shouldn't have they? Don't try hard. Die hard. Oh, I like that saying. It just rings with me. What about you? Do you like it? You're going to use it? Everyone say, don't try hard. Die hard. Everybody say it. One more time, make me feel good. All righty. Salvation is a daily event. It happens day in and day out. You can't say one day I got saved and that's the end of that. You can't do it. It's impossible. It's a daily event. It must be. I'm not saying you say the sinner's prayer every day. Although, that wouldn't go astray either. I'm just saying you submit yourself to Christ every single day. Every single moment of every single... Is that not right, Maren? Is that not right? Every single moment of every single day, you're just giving your heart to the Lord in whatever you're doing, whatever you're... You just keep giving yourself. Keep giving yourself. Oh, and salvation is free. And it will cost you... everything. Will it not? It's a little bit, this story I read, it's a little bit about if I wanted to climb Mount Everest, I don't. But if I wanted to, anybody have any thoughts about climbing Mount Everest? Oh, there's one up the back. Ooh, you're nearly tall enough to reach it, buddy. Anyway, if you wanted to, you would need a lot of money. Let's just say I needed a lot of money and some lovely human being came along and they gave me X amount of dollars and it was going to cover all of my cost to get to the top of Mount Everest. All of the stuff that you need, it's just piles of stuff, isn't it? You've watched the documentaries, you've seen the shows, they take ages and it costs piles of money to get the top of Mount Everest. Why am I saying all this? I'd like to know that. Yeah, they give you all of that. I've been given all that. And yet, what's it going to cost me? You know how many people die on Mount Everest? I don't. But do you? Apparently there's stacks of them. Stacks of people die. It could cost you everything. It could cost you your life, climbing Mount Everest. And you have to lay down. You might have got this free gift, but you have to lay down your whole being, your exercise, whatever it takes. What do I write? All of your time, all of your hard work, months of training, months of effort, months of whatever you have to put into that to get to the top of Mount Everest. Is that not right? And it's a tiny little picture of what salvation is. Yeah, free gift, but you've got to give your whole being to it, your whole self to it. Do you think, well, I'm going to prove it anyway. Do you think you could be saved on a Sunday and unsaved on a Friday? So you got saved today, but by Friday you're not saved. Do you think that's possible? Come on, just give me something, anything. Yeah, I think you can. Let's have a little look at Luke chapter 8, verses 5-8. No, I changed my mind. This will keep them on their toes, won't it? Luke chapter 8, 11-15. What did I say? 5-8. No, I want 11-15. Oh, that is so good of you. Thank you. I'm so parched. This is the meaning of the parable. What parable? The parable of the sower, isn't it? I'll just quickly rip through it. A farmer went out and sowed his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell among the path. It was trampled on. The birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rocks, and it came up. The plants withered because they had no moisture. The others fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked it off. And still other seed fell on the good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than sown. Wonderful, isn't it? And yet, here we have the Lord telling us, this is, in truth, it's a pretty sad story. This is the meaning of the parable. I'll read it from here. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So really, they didn't even get a start, did they? They really didn't get a start. The next one, those on the rock are the ones who received the word. They received it with joy when they heard it, but they have no roots. They believe for a little while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. Okay, we'll keep going. But you heard it, didn't you? You can be saved on Monday and gone on Friday. The seed that fell along the thorn stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. I'm going to read that again. Life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And they do not mature. But the seed in the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. That's nice, isn't it? Everyone say that's nice, so I don't make it, so you're not feeling bad. It's nice, isn't it? It's nice. The last bit. I have a story that's not so nice. Everybody know Judy. Years and years ago, Judy got an opportunity to speak to her next door neighbour, the lady of the house next door. And she preached the gospel or talked about Jesus. And this lady decided, yes, this sounds really, really good. I want to receive the Lord. I want to receive him. So she did, and they prayed, and off she went home next door. And by the afternoon, when hubby came home and she told him what she did, and he had his thoughts on the matter, are you getting my drift? She came back to Judy and said, no, I can't do that. Is that sad or what? So it went in, she believed, but the world just stole it from her straight away. Within a day. Have you seen this before? Have you seen where, I've seen it hundreds of times. I've led guys to the Lord and they've been in church for a while and long, bang! And the world just romps in on them and it just overtakes them and they're gone. Sad, eh? Sad? And you're happy that you're saved, right? We have to really remain in that good place. And dying for Christ. So I've written down here, then the world looks better. Sometimes the world just looks better. Because dying for Christ looks really hard. Is it? Is it? I'm just going to digress for a second because I can, because I'm doing the speaking. Okay, verse 15. I like this verse and I just want to say something about it. It says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by perseverance produce a crop. I always thought that that producer crop, was souls. And it condemned me. How about you? Anybody else feel that way about that verse? Nobody. I am so happy. One, I have one taker. Any others? Well, yous are all smarter than me. I always thought it was about souls. You produce a crop, you produce souls. But you are not, and I am not, accountable for what people do. You can preach the word. And it actually says that they produced a crop. What did they produce? If you put seed in the ground and it grows, let's say wheat, whatever, and it produces what? What does it produce? Wheat, seeds of wheat, is that correct? More seeds. What's in this? I'm making this up as I go along. What then is that seed? What was the seed in the first place? In a biblical sense. Is the word of God. What's the ground? Us, our hearts, our being, yeah. So you produce. If you produce something, you produce more of the Word of God, do you not? It comes, all of a sudden you're overflowing with the Word of the Lord. Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's better, isn't it? That's the only good bit I got, okay? No, I think it's a marvellous thing. More of the Word, and you just... All of a sudden, out she comes. That's you producing a crop. And you put that into the ground, other people's hearts. And if it lands on the rocks and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, but if it hits the good soil, away you go again. Cool? You like that? Yeah, me too. It takes all of the pressure away of when you're preaching to somebody. It's not you, it's Jesus who saves, okay? Not you. But the word of God out of you into someone, powerful gear. I should sit down because that was my favourite bit. Because the rest of it's just, messages, this message started 3 weeks ago when I was reading Luke 14 and then I read 13. Yeah, I went backwards, 12. 15, 16, 17, and this whole thing just spread out. And let's start on this one, Luke 14, 25 to 27. Now this is about the cost. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, okay, imagine yourself out in the middle of nowhere, following Jesus around. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden he turns around and he says this to you. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciples. You all read this scripture and you all know exactly what it means, don't you? I like that. Maybe not. I asked a couple of people during the week and some of them had an idea. You're supposed to hate your wife, Noel. Does the Bible agree with that anywhere else? No. In fact, the whole Bible is... What did Kent say this morning, everyone? Love, 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 love. God is love, love, love. So this is a misprint, right? No, not quite. This is what I used to call a hyperbole. And in Bible college I first read that, that's a hyperbole, that. You can laugh because you know what I'm talking about. Who knows the word? Who knows the word? What is it? A hyperbole, and not a hyperbole. It looked like a hyperbole to me. Ah, you loony. No, you husbands, you're supposed to love your wives and we're supposed to honour our mums and our dads. We're supposed to do all that loving stuff. This is just an extreme, like that king dude who who I'm going to say this, I wasn't going to, but now I am. This king dude that come to this big fortress and he had all his army there, and he did something extreme. He marched a pile of his dudes off the cliff face. You know this story? Olden days. So he's come up to the fort, big fort, and the guy outside says, line up these dudes and march them off this cliff. And he said to them, and they got to about fifth, sixth dude, and the guys up in the fort said, we give up. That's extreme, isn't it? Why? Why'd they give up? Well, those dudes were going to take this fort no matter what. They were just going to do whatever. It's extreme, isn't it? And this is, I don't want to go too much into that story. This is just an extreme of how much you should love the Lord your God. It's just, he wants it all. That doesn't mean to say you don't love your husbands, your wives, so on and so forth. Actually, counting the cost, and this is what my message had come down to, the counting of the cost of your salvation, and I just told you that Judy story. Let's have a look at Luke 12:51. You got it. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. This is Jesus speaking. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against his father, mother against daughter. You get the idea, don't you? You're starting to see the idea. Christianity, yes, it's full of love, but when you follow the Lord, sometimes it's very uncomfortable. And some of you know this better than some others. Some of you know what it is to live in a home like that. It's difficult, to say the least, where there's division. Counting the cost, everyone. I'm lost. No peace. We follow Christ. Some will not like it, even in our families. When I got born again, years ago, my mates dropped off one after the other. You know why? I was a bit of a party boy. And I used to like to go out with the lads, and you don't want me to tell you the rest, do you? Little ears. And they couldn't understand that. They couldn't understand why I wouldn't be wanting to do that stuff anymore. And all of a sudden, you lose your friends. You find some other ones though, don't you? You find another family, don't you? Which is really nice. This is really good. But that, do you think that hurts? Of course it hurts. Things hurt when people disown you or say, no, I don't want any more to do with you. I don't want that, and I don't want what you stand for. It's a cost. It's a big cost. Even some of your family might feel that way about you. I know what some of my family is. One of them said, I don't even know how to talk to him anymore. Is that yucky or what? That costs. Yeah. Okay. Let's change tack just a little, but not a lot. I'm doing renovations at home for the last 3 years. You may laugh, and I love it, and I hate it all at the same time. You know what I mean? You love to see the finished product, but who likes putting three coats of paint on the same wall? If you put your hand up, you're in big trouble, eh? Yeah, there she is up the back. And that's why I married her. Yes, I get totally sick of it, and then I let Carolyn do it. I even wrote it down, and then I let Carolyn do it. Or she does it before I even start. She's very good like that. I can't understand why they don't make paint. There's one coat. You could shovel it on, maybe. Alistair, make something up for that, will you? It's just, yeah, painting, hate it. The question always is to me is it worth it? Is something worth doing like that? I've had this stainless steel handrail at home that I wanted to put up. And some folk gave me some good ideas. I won't tell you who, Carl. On where to go to get stainless steel handrail. And I got the prices for it. And I said, dear Lord, that is way too much. That is way, way off my end of the scale. And the Lord said, yes, that's correct. You can't spend that money. You've got to count it. You don't. You have to count. Is my house is worth this much, and if I put this much into it, I'm overspending. Is that right? Is that how you do it? And I'm doing too much, and it's not worth it in the end, and so on and so forth. And this stainless steel handrail was a fortune, and I got another prize, and it got down a little bit more. And I got another prize, and it got down a little bit more. And then I did it myself, and it didn't cost much at all. And God said, that's okay, you can do it at that price. But not at those other prices. Counted the cost. Are you with me? You get my illustration? Let's have a look at Luke. What is it? What's the next one? Put it up there. Let's see if I got it right. Did I get it right? Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. This is straight after the fathers, hate your fathers, your mothers, and so on and so forth. Straight after this, we're counting the cost. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost and see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, anyone who sees you will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000 men? If he is not able, he will send a delegate while the others is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Give up everything you have. I surrender all. That's as costly as it gets, everyone. I wrote down here, just at the bottom here, the first cost we have to recognise is we could lose relationships. We could lose people we love. Not lose, but the relationship could be, you know what I'm saying, torn, stretched, pulled, not pleasant. Of course, you know what? People who are being saved, being disciples, we stink to people who are not being saved. We smell like death. And they don't like it. You're hearing me, aren't you? Just give me something, anything. Yes, put up the USB stick. Oh, and I don't mean put up the USB stick, but let's see what happens here. These are some misconceptions about following Jesus, I hope. We'll see if they are. Are there some there, guys? I should have got to you sooner, shouldn't I? We'll just sit and wait. Look, this will be the earliest service you've been in weeks. Right? How you going, guys? Find it? Not long now. Now, this isn't my list. This is someone else's list, but I liked it. And I'm not absolutely 100% in total and utter agreement with it, but I liked it. And you'll pick out the eyes of this, won't you? Well, if you get to see it, you'll pick out the eyes of it. Hello. The biggest misconceptions about following Jesus. Everything starts working out for you in your personal and business life. Anybody find that so far? All of your life's problems are solved. You expected that when you came to Jesus, didn't you? No. You get all the answers to the difficult questions in your life. No, I haven't found that either. All of my weaknesses and bad habits are gone. What about yours? No, they're not. Let me tell you, no, they're not. You will spend every waking moment happy and upbeat. Oh, dearie me. What are you laughing at, Carolyn? Life generally gets easier to handle. Yep. Let me say this, though. Being saved does have its upsides, does it not? Yes? Oh, salvation is marvellous. Salvation is wonderful. Eternal life with Christ, there is nothing better. Hope, just, you know, all of the good stuff that comes with being saved. Oh, you know what I'm saying. It's just marvellous. Marvellous. The second cost. I've written down here, the second cost. All your stuff. I did relationships first. You remember that? Now all your stuff. He wants all your stuff too. All your money and all your stuff. So Luke, he really hammers you, I tell you. Did I write this down? Luke 16, 13 to 15? Look at that, quicker than lightning. No one can serve two masters. This is straight after the other parable that I just read about counting the cost of being a disciple. He goes again, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is despised in God's sight. Money can be a real problem. I've seen many crash and burn because they wanted stuff. It's sad. And then there's a parable directly after that. And we won't put it up. It's the rich man and Lazarus. Who's heard this parable? Of course you have, Trish. We all know that. Anybody else heard this? The rich man and Lazarus. The rich man went off to hell and Lazarus went off to heaven. Lazarus was sitting at the gate of the rich man hoping for the crumbs off his table. And the rich man have a lavish, lovely, wonderful life. And then he went to hell. And Lazarus went to heaven. And the story is literally, don't love your money. If I brought it down to just the fact, don't love your money and your stuff. As John always says, hold everything really lightly because God might want it tomorrow. He might. Money's okay. Money's all right, and it's all right to have money. If you love it and you love your stuff, you can't give it up. You can't give it away. And you know, you are in the top 10%, is it, of the world's richest people? Everybody sitting in this room? That's nearly scary, isn't it? Don't be scared. Be ready to give. I think most important, I think what God wants is us, we do our tithes, we do our offerings. If you want to, you can do first fruits. But what about your stewardship of your money? It's not yours and it's not mine, is it? It's not ours. I surrender all says what? It's not yours and it's not mine. It costs you everything. And if you just go through, I'm going to say, if you just go through life and don't ask the Lord what you're supposed to do with that stuff, or you're just building up stuff, building up, you don't ask Him, who are you living for? Who would you be living for? Yourself. If you never ask Him what you're supposed to do with your money, how you're supposed, am I supposed to buy this? How am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do that? What am I supposed to do? If you never ask Him, or you only ask Him half, what are you, half saved? Have you half counted the cost? I'll give you this bit, Lord, but you're not having this lot. That's my house. That's my stuff. I told you it got ugly, didn't I? But that's what he said. I remember this story of this preacher, big time preacher, and he got all of his elder blokes, there was a church service, all of his elder blokes to come out and pray for this one sick human being. They all laid hands on, like this, they almost did it left-handed. And he looked down, there was about five or six of them, you know what he saw? What did he see? Six Rolexes. And he went, oh, there's about $30,000 worth of watches there. What do you want me to say about that? I can't say anything about that. He just thought about it. Now, he wasn't condemning those guys. He wasn't saying, you're terrible dudes, you. We just have to be really careful, and I'm not condemning you either. Money's good if we use it right. Have I condemned anybody? Is anybody feeling condemned? Don't put up your hand, whatever you do. Oh, my last one. Yay, I know. You thought it was going to go for 30 minutes. So did I, actually. I surrender all my worldly pleasures and leisures. I'm going to rip through these last few. It's all in Luke. There's a scripture, Luke 13, 18 to 21. Let's see what it says. Then Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? It's more compared to mustard seed, yeast. What he was saying was, if it's not growing, seed into the ground, it grows, right? If it's not growing, yeast into the bread. If it's not growing, it's not producing, not making something, go to, which is probably the one I was supposed to put in first. Oh, no. There's one just before that about a fig tree. He said, the gardener came out and he said, how's the fig tree growing? It's good. Is there any fruit on it? No, not a bit of fruit on it. And he said, well, chop the sucker down. He said, no, leave it for another year. I'll fertilize it and water it and then. This is so you remember. And then cut the sucker off. Last time I did that, I took a big hunk out of my leg. Glad I didn't do that today. That was just to help you remember. That's a fig tree. You know that's a fig tree. Very relatively speaking. Shunk. Cut the sucker down. He's pretty serious about this, isn't he? Counting the cost. I did that because I thought this is getting way out of hand. This is getting costly. And then there's the narrow door, 13, 23 to 27. Another one. Here he goes again. What does it say? Make every effort to enter through the narrow door because Many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets close to the door, can you read the rest? Stand outside knocking, pleading, sir, open the door. No, you're not coming in. You know what I saw, the picture I saw was? This. I'll tell you the joke and then I'll tell you the picture, because the joke's funny. I went into this house a few months ago, and there was a shower, and the shower had one of these little tiny door. It was about yay big, about 900, and it was an aluminium one, so there was a fixed panel. And then that slided across there. And I looked at that and I said to myself, I can't get into that shower. And I went like that, and I still couldn't get into that shower. Yes, it was embarrassing for me too. Don't say anything, Alistair. The door's pretty narrow, is what the Lord's saying. It's pretty narrow. It's not a great big door. It's a little fella. And then I saw this picture as I was writing that down. I saw this picture of this narrow door and people with these huge fat heads. And they couldn't get through the narrow door. Because they had what? What's a big fat head describe? What is it? Pride. Look at me. I got all this stuff. All these relationships, I'm a party, I'm this, I'm that. And my big fat head won't get through the door. Because I got stuff. Oh, no, I won't. No, it might be a bit much. I got stuff. And I'll end here, I think I'll end here. The whole deal being, we've got to humble our hearts. There's only one way to Jesus. There's one thing that comes before all of that. You count the cost, you've got to humble your heart. You must humble it. None of this is yours. None of it's mine. You've got to give it all up. You've got to surrender it all. Scripture in James says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Gives grace to the humble. My last scripture was about the great banquet. Oh, and it's full of excuses. Full of them. I couldn't do it because I bought the piece of land. I couldn't come to your party because I bought the big piece of land. And I had to go and see it. You know that's all rubbish? You know they invite them to the party and then they've got the invitation, they're invited, and they say, I'm coming. This is the old day, the way this is exegesing the parable. They invite them, they're coming, they've said they're already coming. The day comes and he says, send out the dude to get all the guests, bring him in, it's ready to have the feast. And then they make excuses why they can't do it. And the excuse was, I just bought a field and I have to go and look at it. Name me one person in this room who's bought a house and hasn't looked at it first. It's an excuse. Name me one person who I bought a team of oxen and I'm going to go and see if they're okay, if they work all right. Name me one person in this room that has bought a car and hasn't had a look at it first. That'd be me. Yeah, I know. We did that. Did we pay the price? Yes, we did. It's excuses, and you and I don't want to come to the day when Jesus says, what'd you do? Did you do the things that Jesus asked you to do? Go around doing good and healing all? Did you do that stuff? Did you count the cost? Did you lay down all your gear? The message is, count the cost of discipleship. And I'm done. Band, come on, we'll sing a song because we need a happy moment. We'll sing I Surrender All. that last song was nice, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah, we'll do that last song. Now, you remember, we'll take a moment. Should we take a moment, everyone? Just count the cost. Count the cost, everyone. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the free gift of salvation, Lord. But we understand it came at a price. It came at a price for you. And it comes at a price for us. And that's everything. And Lord, we are happy to lay it all down. You are amazing and wonderful and beautiful, and we just want to be with you. We want to give you our all, Lord. Counted the cost today, Lord. And I pray that everyone here looks deep into their heart, including me, and gives up what we hold so tightly to. Gives it over to you afresh, surrendering it all. Lord, we thank you that you give us that opportunity every single day. Lord, help us never to take stuff back from you. Thank you, Lord.